How the U.S. became the world's biggest exporter of Marxism. On June 8, 2020, around 100 protesters carrying Black Lives Matter placards marched through downtown, not downtown Portland, Oregon, downtown Seoul, Korea. And K-pop stars BTS donated $1 million to Black Lives Matter. That there are virtually no black people in Korea, and that the protesters and K-pop bands literally lived under the guns of the most brutal anti-human rights communist regime in the world didn't seem to faze anyone. Because black lives matter more than Asian lives? The threat of invasion by aggressive nuclear-armed communists across their border was not the problem South Koreans marched about. Systemic racism in America was. On June 13th, the U.S. government itself hung from its South Korean embassy in Seoul a huge banner, not to protest Kim's barbaric North Korean regime, though. The banner read, Black Lives Matter. In January 2020, Hungarians put a statue with a plaque reading, Black Lives Matter, in a square in Budapest. The mayor said, quote, The BLM goals of opposing racism and police brutality are just as relevant in Hungary as anywhere else, unquote. But in Hungary, less than 0.1% of the population are black. Clones of U.S. Black Lives Matter protests happened in more than 60 nations all over the world. In Armenia, protesters in front of the U.S. embassy held papers listing names of black Americans killed by American police. BLM protests were held in countries such as Kyrgyzstan and Taiwan, where almost no one is black, and nations in Africa, such as Nigeria and Senegal, where virtually no one is not black. Yes, black lives mattered there. But it mattered compared to what? You couldn't say all lives matter, of course, even if all the lives there were black. Why did so many people outside the U.S., in nations where people presumably had lots of real reasons to protest and real local problems, take to the streets to make copies of the American BLM protests? Armenians were victims of one of the worst genocides in recent human history, and the nation has real problems. Why were some isolated, overblown, and often imaginary injustices against a few black people in Michigan or Minnesota so important to Armenians? And to so much of the rest of the world outside the U.S.? Was it because, in the age of the internet and free long-distance phone calls, the general public of the world had taken to actively and randomly taking sides, to the point of public protests, in the domestic politics and internal arguments of nations on the other side of the world from themselves? It would seem not. Because Bolivians did not don yellow jackets and march in their streets to protest French government policies which affected Frenchmen. Armenians did not get all up in arms to side with the people of Hong Kong, protesting having their rights taken away by the communist government. The phenomenon seemed to be the global dissemination of one, and only one, side of American cultural and political issues. Because it was not just BLM, of course. The BLM statue in Hungary was 3D printed in the rainbow of colors symbolic of the American LGBTQ movement. The deepest roots of the violent leftist organization Antifa are in European Marxism. But the Antifa of 2021 is of American origin, emerging in 2017 after the election of Donald Trump as a resistance movement, with the word Antifa entering the Merriam-Webster Dictionary of American English later that year. Antifa per se came into existence to oppose an American president. But by April 2, 2021, the U.S. Security Advisory Council warned of, quote, demonstrations involving Antifa and black bloc groups to take place the next day, April 3rd. Was the U.S. Security Advisory warning the public about possibly dangerous Antifa demonstrations in Detroit or Portland? No. The warning was about Antifa demonstrations in Lyon, France, and an article titled Strategies of Ambivalence, Cultures of Liberal Antifa in Japan, published in 2020, reported, quote, a segment of Japanese activists has adopted Antifa to bolster their ongoing participation in anti-nuclear, anti-racist, and anti-war social movements, unquote. Also in that year, Reuters reported that a member of Antifa sent a message to numerous pubs in the UK demanding that they change their names as part of a crackdown on racism. And in Nottingham, Antifa protesters carrying signs and chanting support for BLM turned violent and attacked people at a rally for UK veterans, reported a Daily Mail article titled, Pro-Veterans Rally and Antifa Activists Face Off in Nottingham City. But was this really the export of Marxism, as our title claimed? Clearly, Antifa was a far-left organization devoted to the Marxist idea of using violent revolution to displace a capitalist system and replace it with communism. But was BLM Marxist? You probably know that the answer is a resounding yes. By now, the Marxist roots of BLM have been documented by many writers. A good summary is to be found in the monograph titled Black Lives Matter, Marxism Disguised as Racial Justice, by John Perazzo. The founders of BLM have long histories of affiliation with Marxist organizations. Most are self-described Marxists. And from the beginning, BLM was allied with the Freedom Road Socialist Organization and a host of the other communist socialist groups. Getting back to the American BLM Antifa LGBTQ-style Marxism being exported to Britain, the British publication Financial Times, in a 2021 article titled The War on Woke, Who Should Shape Britain's History?, credited BLM with, among many other things, changes to the main restaurant at the world-famous Tate Museum in London and the murals on the walls, causing a few voices to complain that, quote, Black Lives Matter movement was destroying British heritage. Unquote, the British government went on with the destruction. Quote, the Welsh government has, for example, announced that colonialism and black history will be mandatory parts of the new school curriculum. The Black History of Wales? That would seem to require a very slender textbook. By 2021, Americans were in the process of erasing those segments of their culture which were not sufficiently far left. Statues were torn down. The parts of textbooks, the parts about our heritage of liberty and justice, were replaced by the 1619 doctrine and critical race theory. In Virginia, public schools named after Thomas Jefferson and George Mason, the founder who proposed the Bill of Rights, were renamed. Even when in one city, a majority of the public, when polled, voted to retain the names of schools named for Jefferson and Mason, and only 25% wanted the name change. The school board announced that the concept of majority rule itself needed to be eliminated because, quote, it is the opposite that is needed. If the majority rule worked for traditionally marginalized groups, we would not have systemic racism, unquote. So apparently the concept of representative government was also going to be replaced by government regulators, both in the curriculum and in action. And of course, such practices were being exported to other countries, so the British BLM caused the government to, quote, remove a statue of Thomas Picton, the governor of Trinidad who authorized the torture of a 13-year-old girl, unquote. Picton was a colonial governor and was accused of allegedly for a time hanging a mixed-race girl by one arm from the ceiling as a punishment in 1801. Maybe the Brits would replace Picton's statue with one honoring the dozens of Muslim rape gangs who were enabled by the British government in the 21st century to brutally rape and torture over 1,500 British white children between 1997 and 2013. The British government had detailed information of the rape gangs in 2002 at the latest, but refused to do anything about it. Among other practices, the Muslims drove nails through the girls' tongues to hold them onto tabletops while the Muslims raped them. When a few arrests were finally made, the press mostly refused to report it, and when a right-wing blogger taped the Muslims coming out of a courtroom, it was he who was arrested and put in prison. Most of the Muslims went free, being people of color. When one of the children who was repeatedly raped threatened to go to the police, the rapists poured gasoline on her and said they would burn her alive if she did. Her father came to suspect what was going on and went to the police. He was arrested for obstruction and charged with wasting police time. When it all did eventually become public and the British media had to at least say something about it, they apologized for the police refusal to take action, saying that they had been afraid that if they arrested Muslims, they would be accused of institutional racism. Some investigations of police and government officials who allowed the rape gangs to function for so long were begun, but it seems that no one ever was or will be punished. The same government did acquiesce to Black Lives Matter and take down Picton's statue, though, so justice. Did public protests arise in Hungary or Korea or Armenia to protest the British government knowingly allowing over 1,500 young British children to be raped and tortured by Muslim men in Britain over a period of years? You know the answer, of course. So it seems that U.S. culture wars were being exported to countries across the globe, or rather one side in that war was being exported, the left side. An article in The Economist in 2021 was titled, "Social Media Are Turbocharging the Export of America's Political Culture." Quote, "Media outlets elsewhere take their cues from their American counterparts. We have imported the language of culture wars into the UK wholesale," says Bobby Duffy, the director of KCL's Policy Institute, unquote. There is no doubt that the U.S. is exporting Marxism thinly disguised, if disguised at all, as wokeism. But our title is How the U.S. Became the World's Biggest Exporter of Marxism. We have not described how this happened. We can't here. The true answer to that question can be known. But it is a long, complex answer, and in the end, it raises another question. A question that we must create an answer to. America used to export the free enterprise system. That was rule of law, representative government, individual rights, an exchange economic system as opposed to a command economy, i.e., the opposite of Marxism/communism/socialism, which is what we now export and what we are being destroyed by. What happens next? This is Martin Wolf in his 2004 book, Why Globalization Works. Quote, "The most successful European religious export of the 20th century was Marxism-Leninism," unquote. What is the appropriate response to this outrageous perversion of our heritage, the destruction and reversal of the American system? Outrage? Sure, of course it is. But it had better be more than that. Maybe we need to get past the reaction of outrage and look at what happened to bring us to this point. Then look at why that happened, and then at how to change what is happening now and what will happen in the future. If the left fought against our free enterprise system and won, then can we fight against the left and win?
This has been a production of the Rightful Freedom System, which takes sole responsibility for the contents.